Hello everyone, this is Giovanni Brito speaking, and I am your host for Season 5 of the International Voices at Queen's podcast. This episode is recorded on the traditional lands of the Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee peoples. And today I am very excited to host someone really special. He's an undergraduate student at Queen's University, Simarjeet Singh. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. And hello to all the listeners at home. I am grateful to be a guest on this podcast, coming from being a host to being a guest. It's a full cycle, and I'm grateful I was considered for this position.
Of course, Simarjeet. When you were a host, I had the chance to be there. It was just amazing. And I really wanted to have you come back to visit us. And before I ask you some questions, Simarjeet, would it be okay for you to just talk to all of us, all of our listeners, a little bit about yourself?
Sure.
Yeah.
Hi, everyone. My name is Simarjeet Singh. I use he, him pronouns, and I'm an international student from India. I came to Queen's in the September of 2022. After finishing my high school, I started my undergraduate degree over here. I'm honored enough to be here on a scholarship. And I started off in the School of Computing, and I transitioned into psychology. And then I finally found my home in the Department of Sociology. And I'm proud to say that I'll be graduating with a Bachelor's of Honors in Sociology. And yeah, beyond academia, I'm involved in a lot of extracurriculars on campus as a student leader, as a volunteer, and everything in between. My primary efforts go into event coordination and logistics. And that's about it. That's all I am.
Well. Knowing you a little bit, I know that that's a lot, and there is even more to come. That's great. Mm-hmm. Well, Simarjeet, actually, like, my first question would be about, you know, the way you've combined two areas that at first seems a little bit like unusual, mm-hmm. right? For example, sociology and computing. And I am actually kind of curious, how did you develop those, you know, the interest by these two areas? For example, computing was something that you learned when you were a kid or when you were a teenager.
I love talking about my decision making for my academia, because it really gives me an opportunity to let people know that it's okay if you want to switch streams. And it's scary to do it at first, but it's for the better. If you don't feel your calling in a stream, it's okay to switch out. And having done that myself, I can lead by example. So just to give a bit of background, when I was back in India, I used to be really proficient in coding. So computing came a bit naturally to me, and I really thoroughly enjoyed the whole process of finding a problem, making a solution out of it, and then debugging the solution and making it more efficient. The whole process of starting till end really showed me that even though, yes, your code has become very proficient and it gets the job done, there's still a more efficient way of doing it, or there's a more unique way of doing it. So that curiosity of exploring answers was really something that drove me into continuing to develop into computing and then committing to an undergraduate degree for that. My switch from those hardcore sciences to more psychology and sociology came out of a realization that I had at Queen's, which was that while, yes, I have been able to develop my logistics and technical skills, there was something that I was missing, which was my ability to understand and connect with people and not only learn more about myself, but also the kind of person I want to be, the kind of people I want to have in my life, and how my actions and others' actions affect the society around us. And sociology was the best example and the best platform that I could find for my ambitions and my desire, my curiosity has been quenched quite heavily with sociology, especially with the courses and the professors I have here at Queen's. I always link back my desire of wanting to learn about society and people's influence over each other. It always originates from my background in sports and my background in team-based environments, whether it's extracurriculars here at Queen's or sports back at home, or just group projects that we used to do for our school, like the school assembly, or we used to have these creative competitions, or even the annual function or the annual sports day. All these things really gave me an opportunity to have those preset examples of what it means to be a team player. And I got to learn more about that and got to reflect on it in a different lens through the world of sociology. And yeah, I love talking about this largely because I find it that a lot of people are scared to switch their majors or switch their programs because they feel like it's almost a sunk cost fallacy that if you have already committed so much time and effort into it, why switch out? But to me, if you have the financial resources for it, I say go for it, because that sets you up for having a lot more meaningful time and having a lot more purposeful endeavors in front of you.
Wow, that's so great. I wanted to ask you about when you got to move to Canada, mm-hmm. right? So I want to say you've spent a good amount of time in India as a kid and as a teenager, and then you got to move to Canada. Mm-hmm. As an international student myself, I faced many struggles, mm-hmm. you know, especially moving to a new country, a new culture. So was that for you any particular challenge that comes to your mind when you first moved to Canada? What can you tell me about challenges and struggles?
There were so many. Every day came with multiple challenges, and every time I thought that my challenges were dealt with, more will just pop up. Like finding a place in this community, finding people that I feel safe around, finding friends and finding even mentors to guide me through my time here. There's so many instances and there's so many days where I felt that I was always on the back foot, just because I wasn't from here and just because I didn't have an already established social network in Canada. It was quite a lot, whether it's like, for example, coming here, opening a bank account, getting a debit card, figuring out my social insurance number. I came to Canada as an 18-year-old now I'm 21. So in these years, I have navigated quite a circumstances that were only possible because initially, I wanted to get through those situations, and then later, as I found my friends, I had the support to be able to get through those hard days. One of the very challenging things for me was definitely understanding how different friendship dynamics work, and how certain societal constructs and societal community differences from the communities I'm familiar with, so for example, the ones in India and the ones here, have some different social cues and social understandings that may not necessarily be explicitly told to you, but you have to pick up on very quickly, because if you don't, you might end up offending somebody or disrespecting somebody, and I don't want to do that.
That's right.
So there was a lot of anxiety with all those things, and that anxiety fueled me into wanting to change and wanting to learn. But yeah, I guess it was initially my own strength that got me through those challenges, and then after that I was finally able to find support in my friends and my mentors to lean on, and here we are now.
Yes, and hopefully because you are a person, as far as I can see, you know, from our talk here, that has a lot of self-awareness, mm-hmm. eventually you moved on and you were able to overcome, if not all, but most of these struggles. I actually, Simarjeet, wanted to challenge you now.
All right.
I know that especially in this conversation here, numbers, they don't matter too much, but mm-hmm. I just wanted to ask you a fun question now. Mm-hmm. Do you know how many positions exactly you've held so far at Queen's University?
See, that's a bit of a tricky question, because on paper, I might have had like 36 positions, but I have volunteered as an unofficial team member for so many organizations and so many events and so many initiatives. Like there was a point in my life where every week a random person who would email me being like, hey, so-and-so gave me your email. I'm filling out this event sanctioning form. Can you proofread it for me? Mm-hmm. And having so much experience with the event sanctioning form made it easier for me to do those things. So I would just be in my bed reading it and just like responding in like 2-3 lines, mentioning what they want to change, mentioning why they want to change that things. And if there are no changes, I would just applaud their attention to detail and wish them the best of luck. And beyond that, I have volunteered to be on the cleaning team on on-site events just doing those things. Because I do that for the love of the game. I do that for the people who are actually working in those things. And being an unofficial supporter also gives me an opportunity to not have the commitments and responsibilities of showing up to all those meetings and making those reports, but also being able to help with the impact. Like, I'm always open to being consulted. I'm always open to connecting people with other people in my network, whether it is potential sponsors, whether it is other student leaders, or whether it is the people I know in the corporate world, or even in the different departments at Queen's. I just do it because the hope is to have a more inclusive, interconnected community and be able to move past the bubbles we see with different communities and different organizations.
That's so great. Yes. So again, we've talked about this. When there is passion involved, mm-hmm. it kind of changes the game, right?
Yep.
Great to hear. And I wanted to ask you now, Simarjeet, again, successful leader, but what does it take? Does it have a price to be a leader? And also, if I may, would you name like the number one skill or, you know, characteristic that a leader needs to have from your own perspective?
I kind of briefly went over what all skills are required to be a leader, like being an active listener, being empathetic, being able to communicate things, being able to be the first one to take the initiative. All those things are something like I echo with student leadership and being involved in it. And when it comes to the price you pay, I think it's kind of subjective about how much of you do it and like how much of you are willing to sacrifice. Like for me, it was all or nothing, and I gave it my all, and I still give it my all. I don't like holding a role without giving 110% to it. And my 110% is going to look different every day because of different circumstances and different things that are beyond my control. But I just like to go to bed knowing that I gave it my 110%. As I'm growing, I'm knowing and realize that there is some level of resting that I need to integrate into my routine, and I'm doing that. And I'm only able to realize those things, and I'm only able to appreciate that rest because I didn't have it to begin with, because I had to come to the realization from it. So it's like, the way I would like to use a metaphor for it is something like, you grew up with one thing versus you acquired it later into your life. Those are two very different ways. Those two people may or may not cherish that thing in the same way. Somebody who acquired it way later down their life may cherish it more or may cherish it less based on that person. Similarly, somebody who was born with it may appreciate it differently to somebody else. So to me, this realization of integrating rest into my routine comes from having walked a very unstable, rather rigorous path. And I'm okay with that. I have come to terms with all that I have done, all that I've given up. And I'm very happy with where I find myself in. And I'm very proud of all the people who have worked with me. And I'm honored to have had so many people who inspired me and gave me an opportunity to learn from them. Because it takes some level of vulnerability to get to know somebody and be open to being known. And a lot of my mentors and mentees took the courage to be vulnerable around me and let me be vulnerable with them. And being able to create that safe space and that environment of growth and support really really made my time in student leadership somewhat different from what I've heard others talk about. And I feel good about it. I feel nice knowing that I have this little small community within student leadership that is always going to have my back and is always going to support me on my crazy endeavors and my side initiatives, and just be okay to also add me to their teams when they think I can serve a purpose for them.
And now you are inspiring others, just like myself, right? And you're now making other people proud.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say that, like, you have traits of a leader that I would follow. You know, I echo, like, you know, you need sometimes let it go sometimes, mm-hmm. right? To give people some time to breathe, mm-hmm. right? Rather than just, you know, establishing rules, right? And I love it. Well, Samarjeet, our episode's coming to an end, but before I let you leave, I wanted to ask you, as an international student,
mm-hmm.
what's the biggest lesson that you've learned at Queen's University that you're going to keep and move forward with for the rest of your life?
Well, firstly, before I answer that question, I just want to say thank you for inviting me. It's been an honor and a privilege having known you since the last summer and now seeing you be the host. And I wish you nothing but the success with this initiative and everything else you get up to, because having known you a little bit, I know that there's a lot that you do with your thesis and you have a family to support and all your exciting endeavors of the desire to teach and learn. So I wish you nothing but the very best for everything.
Thank you, my friend.
Answering the question, ask for clarifications, because mm-hmm. there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
I could have chosen to be scared of asking you to repeat the question and given a completely different answer, but
I
would say that's one of the biggest lessons, is being okay with asking questions. The second one is going to be, people matter more than all the stature and money, because
true.
Student leadership pays quite a lot of money. It pays my bills, it pays my international student tuition fees, everything. So it pays quite a lot of money, but I would throw away all of that. I would throw away all the laurels, all the stature, all the influence, if it meant to that I would be able to sustain or regain friendships and connections and relationships. Because at least to me, that is what all of it is worth, and that is all of it coming into fruition. Because yes, money is great. Yes, having that influence on campus allows me to make a positive impact a lot easier, and being able to connect with certain people that otherwise a student would be impossibly able to connect with. All of that is great, but it's all cherry on top of a cake. The cake itself is the people. And I don't think I would be where I am. I don't think I would be as happy as I am if it wasn't for the people that came and went through my life, and people who volunteered and loved me enough to support me and uplift me. And as I transition into my last few years at Queen's, I find very privileged to have mentees like Hanuf, Alex, Keshvi, and Joy. These are people who I see a version of myself in, and I feel honored that they feel comfortable to talk to me and see me as their elder brother. And it's just those connections, it's those moments of laughter and supporting each other that I know I'm going to remember a lot more. Because money will come and go. Like, I will lose this influence once I am out of Queens. I will lose all this laurels and statues once I move to a different country. But those connections, those moments, those memories are going to outlast everything else. And they're going to also start a domino effect that outlives any of us on earth.
Yes, I could say in just a couple of words, people matter more than things. Well, it was just awesome having you, Samarjeet. Mm-hmm. Once again, I just wanted to thank you. Thank you for having some time in your very crazy schedule to come and visit us here. And
of course, it's an honor and a privilege.
And to all of our listeners, please stay tuned. Next episode is going to be live soon.
Make sure to follow us on every platform you listen to podcasts on.
Of course, indeed. Thank you, Simarjeet. That was great.
Thank you so much for having me.
International Voices at Queen's Podcast is a supportive listening space for members of the Queen's University community, especially those engaging in language learning and those seeking to increase their intercultural awareness. This podcast is brought to you by the Queen's University International Center and by Student Academic Success Services. The beautiful music that you hear on the background was composed by the musician, composer, and music producer from Kingston, Sadaf Amini.